According to faith healers, the critical condition for a person being healed is faith. No matter how successful or powerful this particular healer may be, in the final analysis, according to the healing theology, the critical issue is how much faith does the sick person have? Those who are in this movement quote scripture to prove their point. For example, in Mark chapter 11, Jesus talked about having faith when you pray. And if you have faith, you could move a mountain and say, be cast into the sea, and the mountain would be moved. Or perhaps their favorite text in this regard is in James chapter 5, where James said, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now, some take this basic premise to an ultimate extreme. They will go so far as to say that if you have exercised faith, then you are healed, whether you feel it or not, or whether or not the symptoms still remain. As a matter of fact, it is common among some in the faith healing movement to say that in those kinds of cases, you have been healed. It just hasn't manifested itself yet. So that a person could be seriously sick and have all kinds of severe symptoms and claim he is healed, while those symptoms are blatantly obvious and before the people who are looking at them. And yet the person with the symptoms would say, I have been healed. I accepted it by faith. It's just that the healing hasn't been manifested yet. I have referred in this series on several occasions to a man named Bosworth. I have referred to him over and over for the simple reason that he has written the book that has been called the textbook for healing theology. In that book, he said, and I quote, "To the extent that we base faith on our improvement or are affected by our symptoms or by what we see or feel instead of by the Word of God alone. Just to that extent, ours is not real faith. To be occupied with what we see or feel is to exactly reverse the condition God lays down for us to follow." He then quotes, "Everyone that looks at it shall live," end of quote. Simply meaning that everyone who, like Abraham, so occupies himself with God's promise that he is no longer affected by the symptoms. That's the person, he says, who shall recover. It means the Word of God, not what we see or feel, shall be the basis of our faith. End of quote. Now, that is perhaps an extreme position. Certainly, not all faith healers take that point of view. But it is very common to suggest that faith is the critical condition for being healed. As a matter of fact, Kenneth Hagin, in one of his books, has said that you could lay hands on faithless people to the point that you rubbed all the hair off and they were bald. But if they didn't have faith, they wouldn't be healed. Now, I just need to say along the way, almost as a footnote, that there is one outstanding exception to what I have just said. And that was the ministry of Catherine Kuhlman. In fairness to her, I need to point out in passing that she believed that God healed those who had faith and those who had who did not have faith. But she was clearly the exception. Almost every other faith healer believes that faith on the part of the sick person is the critical condition for being healed. Now, the question I'd like to ask very simply is this. Is that true? Must you have faith in order to be healed? And is your lack of faith the reason that you have not been healed? Irregardless of whether or not Jesus died for sickness like he did for sin, whether or not God gives the gift of healing today, is the critical issue your faith? In order to answer that question, what I would like to do is make three simple statements about the relationship between faith and healing. These three simple statements about faith and healing, I think, sum up what the Bible teaches about faith and being healed of a disease. The first statement that I would like to make is simply this. There is no doubt that in the Bible, some had faith and they were healed. Now, you might recognize that as being very close to what the faith healers are saying. And I am simply saying there is that truth in the Bible that some had faith and those who had faith were healed. Now let's take just a second and look at several passages of Scripture that say that. For example, turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew chapter 9, we are given several cases of people who had faith and they were healed. For example, Matthew chapter 9 verse 20 says, "And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 20 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For, she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour." Now, in this case, this woman was simply hemorrhaging. But in her day, and under Judaism, that was a serious, serious problem. The Mosaic law in the book of Leviticus declared that as long as that was happening in a woman, she was ceremonially unclean, and everything she came in contact with was ceremonially unclean. So that this woman had that problem for 20 years, which, according to her religion of the day, virtually cut her off from worship of God and fellowship with God's people. She was virtually an isolated outcast. Now that woman either saw that Jesus was healing others or heard that he was healing others, and she started moving through the crowd believing if she could but touch the hem of his garment, she would be healed. It's kind of humorous. I'm sure as she was moving through the crowd, she bumped into other people, and had they known she had the problem, you can believe the crowd would have split back screaming, "Unclean! Unclean!" But she made it through the crowd, and with her finger she touched the hem of his garment, and with her faith she touched the heart of Jesus Christ. He turned and said, "Be of good cheer, your faith has made you well." So here is a very clear case of someone who had faith, and that faith was the basis of their being healed. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, that peerless preacher of the 19th century, said concerning this narrative, quote, "Great faith kept her from facing him. Great fear kept her from facing him. Great faith led her to believe that a touch of his robe behind him would cure her. She was ignorant enough to think that healing went forth from him unconsciously, and yet her faith lived despite her ignorance and triumphed despite her bashfulness. It was her idea to make a dash for it and steal a cure." End of quote. At any rate, she believed, and as a result, she was healed. There's a second illustration of that in Matthew chapter 9. In verse 27, we are told, "When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came unto him. And Jesus said unto them, Do you believe that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, See that no one knows it. But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. Now here are two men who are blind. And they come and cry out, Son of David, which, by the way, is the first time that phrase occurs in all of the Gospel of Matthew. They say, Have mercy on us. And then it appears the Lord, at the moment, ignored them. But they persisted. They followed him into the house. And then it is that Jesus said to them, Do you believe that I am able to do this? And verse 28 says, They said unto him, Yes, Lord. Back in verse 27, they called him the Son of David. They recognized who he was. Now they make it personal in verse 28, and they call him Lord. At any rate, he says in verse 29, According to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were open. And then he warned them not to say anything. And yet, they were so excited and so enthusiastic, they let everybody know. Notice in verse 29, it says, He touched their eyes. The woman mentioned in the previous verses touched the hem of his garment. In this case, Jesus touched their eyes. But the common thread through both is that in each case they had faith, and in each case they were healed. Let me show you one other passage. Turn with me for a moment to Acts chapter 14. This is the third illustration of the fact that some had faith and were healed. In Acts chapter 14, verse 8, we are told, And in Lystra a certain man, without strength in his feet, was sitting. Acts chapter 14, verse 8. A cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said in a loud voice, Stand up, straight on your feet, and he leaped and walked. Notice that last reference. Stand up straight on your feet. That reference has led many to the conclusion that this man was bent over, that he was so deformed and defective that he could not stand up straight. He was clearly physically deformed. He had been crippled from the day he was born. And yet, the text says he had faith. And Paul, with a piercing glance, detected that faith. As a matter of fact, it says in verse 9 that he had faith to be healed. And so, consequently, he was healed. Here was a helpless cripple. He couldn't walk. But it was worse than that. He was not only helpless, he was hopeless, for he had been in that condition since birth. And yet, because he had faith, he was healed, and he then leaped up, the text says, and walked. So there is another illustration, and others could be added. But I think the point is established that there were some in the Bible who had faith, and it appears as a result of their faith, they were healed. Now, let's pause for a second and let me ask a question. Does that mean, therefore, that faith is the critical condition, and that if you have faith, you will always be healed? At this point, I'd simply like to suggest that just because some had faith and they were healed as a result, does not prove by any stretch of the imagination that faith will always get you a cure of your physical disease. What we really need to do is continue the study of the relationship between faith and healing in the Word of God. So let me make a second statement. The first is that some had faith and they were healed. The second statement is, some did not have faith and they were healed anyway. There are many passages in the Bible I could point to. Since we've already looked at Matthew chapter 9, turn back to that one. There are many instances in the Bible where people were healed, and it doesn't say anything about whether or not they had faith. For example, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 32, it says, as they went out, behold, they brought to him a man, mute and demon-possessed. When the demon was cast out, the mute spoke, and the multitude marveled, saying, it has never been like this in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he cast out demons by the ruler of the demons. Now, there is nothing in this text to suggest that this man had faith. Now, some are going to look at that and say, ah, but it is implied. And I would say that is basing an argument built on silence. It may be that the man had faith, but it is just as logical to say that he didn't. At best, the argument from silence is a weak argument. But the point I'm making is that there are many passages, there are many instances of people being healed, and it doesn't say they had faith. Are we to assume that they each had faith, and therefore they were healed because of their faith? I think that is stretching the point at best. But to underscore this, I think it needs to be pointed out that there are passages where people were healed, and it doesn't say they had faith. It says somebody else had faith. For example, turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. And look at verse 1. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near to him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. Now, most would take this passage to suggest that when he says he saw their faith, he's talking about the four men who carried the stretcher and not the sick man himself. This text, then, says the man was healed. And though faith was present, it wasn't his faith. It was somebody else's faith. Or there are the cases in the New Testament that I'll not take time to read where someone was healed in absentia. They weren't even present when it happened, and yet they were healed anyway. One man did a rather extensive and exhaustive study on faith in Christ and healing, and he came to some rather interesting conclusions. He said, out of the 20 instances of faith healing under consideration, in 8 cases, the person seemed to have some sort of faith prior to the cure. But it should not be supposed that Jesus never healed without this antecedent faith. On the contrary, there are 3 cases where it is almost certainly lacking. The man who had been ill for 38 years had no antecedent faith, and in fact did not even know who Jesus was when the Jewish officials questioned him following the cure. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and gave him more instruction about the case of his sickness and the way to prevent a reoccurrence. If faith entered the picture at all in this case, it followed the cure and was not induced by it. And he goes on to say, almost certainly there was no antecedent faith operative in the healing of the woman who had been over 18 years. And he goes on and on. His conclusion is this. From all of this, the difficulty of defining precisely the role of faith in the healing ministry of Jesus may be seen. So, I am simply suggesting that there are cases in the New Testament where some had faith and they were healed. There are also cases where some in the New Testament did not have faith and yet they were healed anyway. Now, if all of that is not confusing enough, let me make a third statement concerning the relationship between faith and healing, and then I'll draw all of this together and conclude it. I would like to suggest that there were some who had faith and were not healed. The one particular person that I think I could point to was the Apostle Paul. In a previous study, we've looked at the passage, so I won't bore you with the details again. But just to remind you that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and in the passage he talks about his infirmities. So that was no doubt a physical infirmity. And he asked God to remove it three times, and God said no. Now the passage doesn't say Paul had faith. But are you going to tell me Paul, the apostle of faith, didn't have faith? Are you going to tell me the one who had healed others and knew and believed that God could and would heal didn't have faith when he asked God to heal him? Matter of fact, if you look at that passage carefully, Paul talks about knowing somebody that went up into the third heaven. Now, he uses the third person to describe that individual as if it were somebody other than himself. But the vast majority of Bible teachers assume that he's really talking about himself, and he's only using the third person so as not to bring upon himself the charge of being proud or puffed up. So that, in that passage, it tells us that he was taken up to the third heaven. He then has a thorn in the flesh to keep him from being proud for having those abundance of revelations. Now, he had just come back from heaven. You're going to tell me he didn't have faith? So whereas the passage doesn't say specifically he had faith, you can be sure that the apostle of faith who had trusted God to work so often and had just ascended to the third heaven believed that God would heal him when he asked for the thorn to be removed. And yet, he wasn't. But let me continue. There is really a deeper issue here, a much more critical issue. And that is that it is a basic principle of the Word of God that some people have faith and win the victory, and some people have faith and lose. That what is really critical is the impression that faith is somehow a rope that ties the hands of God, that we've got to do what we ask, that he's bound by our faith. When if you understand the Word of God aright, you understand that there are men and women in the Bible who had faith and they lost. You are not always promised the victory or the healing or the cure or the solution just because you have faith. You're to trust God anyway. Now let me show you the passage that teaches that. This is very important. Turn to me, with me, to Hebrews chapter 11. You will recognize even while you're turning that this is the hall of fame of faith. This is the chapter in the Bible that talks about men and women of faith. In verse 32, the writer to the Hebrews says, "What more shall I say? Time would fail me For me to tell you of all the people who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, and quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of aliens, and women received their dead raised to life again. Now all of those people had faith and won. And he says in verse 35, and others were tormented, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And still others had trial of cruel, of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonments. They were stoned. They had faith and they were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They were wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. This passage clearly teaches that some people had faith, but they didn't get what they trusted God for. But they trusted God anyway. And the conclusion is, the world is not worthy of those kind of people. My favorite illustration of this, and this is one of my favorite points in all of the Bible, is that in the book of Daniel, the three Hebrew children were told that if they did not bow and bend, they would be cast into the fiery furnace. And they said to Nebuchadnezzar, if you cast us into the fiery furnace, God will deliver us. That's faith. But one of my favorite passages in all of the Old Testament are the next three words. They then looked Pharaoh in the face, the one that had the power to cast them into the furnace, and they said, but if not, that is, if you cast us into the furnace and God doesn't deliver us and we go up in smoke, we'll go in anyway, rather than bow to your idol. You see, they were willing to have faith whether they got the victory or not. They were willing to trust God whether they won or lost. So I say to you that there's a faith being peddled today that only trusts God if it gets from God what it wants. But that the Bible knows no such faith. The Bible knows the faith of the person who says, I'm going to trust God because that's the thing to do. And I'm going to trust Him whether He works or not, whether I get healed or not, whether I'm wealthy or poverty stricken. That is Hebrews chapter 11. So my conclusion is very simply this. Healing in the Bible does not always depend on the faith of the sick person. Oh, granted, there are some cases where people had faith and they were healed. But if you're going to tell the whole story about the relationship between faith and healing, you have got to conclude that there are also cases where people didn't have faith and they got healed anyway. Or, worse yet, there were people who had faith and did not get healed. Paul in particular, and others who were afflicted, according to Hebrews chapter 11 in general. By the way, have I convinced you? You persuaded? Any doubters left? Let me prove to you that the critical issue is not faith. Would you like for me to do that? To close this out, let me make two points. One is that faith is not the critical issue.
And I can prove that. Not faith on the part of the sick person. That's not the issue. Would you like for me to demonstrate that? It's real easy. There were people in the Bible who were raised from the dead. They didn't have faith. They were dead. But there's a better one. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus Christ gave the apostles the power to go out and heal. In Matthew chapter 17, they came back and they said, here's somebody and we couldn't heal him. Now, would you like to know what Jesus Christ said about that? Oh, this is cute. Turn to Matthew chapter 17. You have got to see this in your Bible. I didn't make this up, folks. This is what Jesus said to faith healers who had the gift and couldn't heal. Matthew chapter 17, verse 19. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. Would you underline that in your Bible? Underline the word your. The next time you hear a faith healer say somebody didn't get healed because the sick person didn't have faith, you show them Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. The issue is not the sick person's faith, it's the healer's faith. You know, I have never read a word, I have never heard a word from a faith healer who said, I couldn't heal him because I didn't have enough faith. That verse demonstrates that the issue is not the faith of the sick person. But let me make one other point. By the way, before I do, to tell somebody that the critical issue is their faith, and they trust God, and there are cases where many people genuinely believe God, and them not get healed, is unfair, unbiblical, and downright cruel. Because now you've put a double whammy on that person. They not only got the physical disease, they're walking around thinking something's wrong with their faith. When what you did is you sold them a bill of goods, and you didn't give them biblical truth. But let me make a second point. And that second point, and my final one, is this. As I have demonstrated, I think that there is a greater faith than the faith that settles for getting what you want. That if you want to talk about faith, the ultimate in faith is trusting God when you don't get what you prayed for. I mentioned earlier a book written by a man that had done a great deal of research on the subject of faith and healing in the Bible. In that book, he tells the story of a Presbyterian minister named Dr. Edmund Wiley. He had heard that this author had written a book on healing, and he came over to tell him that he felt the gentleman was right. That God does not always reward true faith with bodily healing. And then he said, I have sent you a Christmas card, and in that Christmas card, I've written a message that I think supports the kind of thing you're saying. The man then left. Before the card came, the author got word that that man had died of a cerebral hemorrhage. So when the card came, he read it with even more interest. And here is what the Christmas card said. There is a faith greater than that of answered prayer. That is the faith of the man of the cross who was born at Christmas. That great faith, the card said, I wish for you. When it comes to the subject of faith, I wish for you to have faith in God, to trust Him. God blesses those who trust Him. No doubt in my mind about that. But I'm also aware that there is a greater faith than the faith which gets the blessing. It's the faith that doesn't and chooses to believe anyway. Scribbled on the wall of a Denver hospital were these words: "The cry of man's anguish went up unto God, Lord, take away pain. The shadow that darkens the world thou hast made, the close coiled chain that strangles the heart, the burden that weighs on the wings that would soar. Lord, take away pain from the world that you have made, that it love you the more." Then answered the Lord to the cry of his world, "Shall I take away pain, and with it the power of the soul to endure, made strong by the strain? Shall I take away pity that knits heart to heart and sacrifice high? Will you lose your heroes that lift from the fire white blows to the sky? Shall I take away love that redeems with a price and smiles at its loss? Can you spare from your lives that would climb unto mine of the Christ on his cross?" That's it. Some have trusted God, and he's taken away the pain and the disease. And some have trusted God, and he didn't. I submit to you that that one is the higher faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of trusting you when it works and when it doesn't. Teach us to trust you no matter what happens. In Jesus' name, amen.